The Bengals' star quarterback is hurt again. This time, Joe Burrow has a serious toe injury. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to discuss the injury and what it will take to recover from it is UC Health orthopedic surgeon Dr. Tanya Dixon. Thanks so much for being here, Dr. Dixon.
Of course. Happy to help.
So what is turf toe? I've heard this injury described as turf toe.
Yes, turf toe, you know, it's the name is not as glamorous for as how severe the injury is. So we have ligaments in the bottom of our big toe that give us push-off strength. So if you imagine, you know, our football athletes, golfers, you know, you name it, this is where they're getting their push-off strength from their foot. And it's the last place that the pressure and stuff is moving through your foot. And what happens is they can be stretched out, you know, and it's graded by 1, 2, or 3, 1 being obviously the mildest and 3 is where it's completely ripped. So the ligament, the soft tissue structure is no longer attached to the toe, which is very painful. And when it's a grade 3, it requires surgical intervention. You know, grades 1s and 2s, we can often treat non-operatively, but when you get into a 3, for someone who is, you know, very athletic, you know, very active, they're going to want to have it fixed because they need to get that push-off strength back.
Uh-oh, and I have heard that Joe Burrow's injury is, in fact, a grade 3. So does that mean it's a surgical fix is what he's going to need?
Unfortunately, yes, especially in, you know, his field. You know, we want him to get fixed as soon as possible so that the road to recovery is started. It takes a while to rehab these because it's soft tissue. You know, anytime we injure something that's soft tissue, it takes a while to, you know, get your range of motion back, the stiffness, whatnot. I always tell my patients it's much better to break a bone because, you know, breaking a bone, it's a pretty straightforward and a pretty consistent recovery. But when it's soft tissue, it's a little bit more challenging and can definitely be a lot longer.
So what's involved in a surgical procedure like this? I mean, to repair that ligament that was so badly damaged.
So what we have to do is we make an incision on the inside of the toe and we go and find the tissue. And we use suture material that does not absorb. So this is something like if someone's had their rotator cuff repaired or, you know, any kind of ligament, like their ankle reconstructed, oftentimes we're using suture material that doesn't dissolve. So it's permanently there. And then we can either drill bone tunnels into the bone so that that suture material is passed and it anchors the tissue back to the bone. Or we can use anchors that we drill directly into the bone and then use the material, the suture material that's attached to the anchor and use that to repair the ligament. So it just depends on surgeon preference.
That all sounds really, really painful.
It's not exactly comfortable, you know, and then for, you know, every surgeon, it's different. Like for me, I have my patients 2 weeks, no weight bearing, and then they come back and see me when the stitches come out, then we let them go into a boot and start putting weight on it. But you don't want to do any range of motion where we're bringing the toe up towards the leg. We can bend the toe down because that's not stressing the repair, but you can't bring the toe up. And usually it's, you know, you're restricted for about 6 weeks before you're allowed to do that sort of thing.
A toe is such a small part of your body, but how big a deal can an injury like this be for an athlete or really for anybody?
It's, you know, for me as the, you know, lay person who's not active, it won't be as bad. But for, you know, Joe Burrow, that is a pretty significant injury. And you're looking at least 3 months recovery. I always tell my patients it can take up to a year to really get back to your baseline. But someone with his access, he will have an accelerated rehab and probably will be much further progressed in recovery than, you know, say you or I, because, you know, we don't have access to physical therapists, you know, every day, all day.
I'm going to guess that he's in better physical shape generally than I am, too.
Me too. Yeah. So that makes a difference as well.
Does that help when it comes to recovery if you start out in kind of peak physical condition?
It does because, you know, overall, his body is healthy, right? And so he's going to be able to get around a lot easier with the no weight bearing, much easier than someone who's not athletically fit. You know, getting around on crutches or even like using one of those knee scooters that people, you know, see people scooting around, that can be taxing on the body. So someone who's athletically fit, they have no problem doing that. And that is part of the recovery too. You know, sometimes it's 2 weeks for somebody to get used to using crutches or a knee scooter. Whereas for him, it's probably going to be no problem even now, you know, because he's probably started his rehab and stuff already because they're going to keep his upper body and his lower body as conditioned as much as possible so that it's not having to recondition that part when it comes back to time to getting that toe moving.
Will his age work in his favor too? He is also a lot younger than I am.
Yes, yes, that definitely is a benefit for him being a younger, you know, not even 30 yet, but, you know, it's not like a teenager either. You know, he's not in his early 20s, but he's still young enough that I think he will bounce back. You know, his nutrition is probably phenomenal, so that it factors in. So he, as an individual, is set up for success to come back from this much sooner than I would say the average individual.
After you've had an injury like this, this toe turf injury, especially this grade 3 injury he's had, is it more likely to re-injure? I mean, is it more fragile, for lack of a better word?
Not necessarily, because number one, we have those suture that don't absorb. So that's there permanently, and it's acting like, you know, some restraint or, you know, soft tissue rebarb, so to speak. And then with the scar tissue, you know, our body makes scar tissue because unlike our bone or our liver, we don't heal with the same type of cell. This is healing with scar tissue. So that will give some added strength to his toe for the future.
Will that reduce flexibility then?
It does. And so that's one thing that they're going to work on, getting him back his range of motion. But it's also a fine line of enough to be able to move around in the pocket and do what he needs to on the field without causing a lot of pain. A lot of times these injuries, people don't want to move their toe as much because it's just better being a stiffer toe rather than having more flexibility to it. So it's a fine balance of what's going to allow him to do what he needs to do without causing him a lot of discomfort.
Guess you can't wear a boot on the football field, right?
No, we cannot.
Can you tell us more about what his recovery plan will look like? You've mentioned physical therapy and, you know, really making sure his upper body and lower body, all that stuff is strong. What does a recovery look like from something like this?
So usually, you know, it can take 3 months or longer because you're starting off at 6 weeks of not really being able to do a whole lot with range of motion of that toe, because that's what he's going to need to get back in order to be agile on the field. He'll start walking, I think at 2 weeks once the incision is healed, which is great because then he can start working on lower body. You know, he can do like leg lifts and leg presses, those sorts of things, because you're not going to put a whole lot of weight through the toe. It's not going to bend, you know, you're able to keep it straight. So, you know, he's not going to lose a lot of muscle atrophy from that regards when it comes to, you know, his leg. You know, the physical therapist will use probably TENS unit to keep the muscles activated and going. They're going to have a lot of soft tissue cryotherapy to help with the swelling, to help with the inflammation, so we can get him moving as soon as he can.
All Bengals fans know that this is not Joe Burrow's first serious injury, and he's had other injuries related to ligaments. He had an ACL, MCL, yes, PCL injury, had a wrist ligament injury. Do you have any sense for what that all kind of adds up to in terms of, you know, how his athletic ability, does any of that add up to problems for him?
You know, when we see people who have a multiple ligamentous injuries, it makes you think, is he someone who has flexibility overall in general? You know, like you think of someone who, are you double jointed? That tells us that there's a lot more motion in those individuals than there normally is, which can make them prone to these injuries because the tissue is not normal, so to speak, because it's so lax, if that makes sense. And so it's like, well, does he have something that is going on that is making him prone to this, which then means he's one who really needs to keep good core and body strength so that the muscles are able to work and help stabilize all of his joints so that he's not prone to other injuries.
What are the risks for Joe Burrow if he gets back on the field before he is fully healed from this injury?
You know, it could be re-injuring that toe and then now he's out longer. It could be that he's compensating because of pain. And if he gets back too soon, his body mechanics are not correct. And then he ends up injuring something else. So it's critical to get back to as strong as possible before ramping up his activities. Because if you go back too soon and you're not well conditioned, it may lead to re-injuring that or injuring something else, which is what we definitely do not want.
That is for sure. Well, I've been talking with UC Health orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Tanya Dixon. Thank you so much for your time today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Up next, we'll hear what Joe Burrow's turf toe could mean for the Bengals this season. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We just heard what it will take to get Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow back in playing condition. Joining me in this recorded interview to discuss what this injury could mean for the team's season is Local 12 digital sports reporter and host of the Skinny podcast, Richard Skinner. Welcome back, Skinny.
Thanks for having me, Lucy. Appreciate it.
Well, we're always glad to have you. You know, we just talked to a local surgeon about the medical implications of Joe Burrow's injury. Let's talk about the impact on the Bengals' season. How long are the Bengals saying their star quarterback could be sidelined?
I mean, it's a minimum of 3 months, and I want to reiterate that to everybody because the timeline that's been thrown out there is 3 months, and it gives you some hope that he's back for the last four or five games of the regular season. There's also a possibility he misses the whole season or maybe he gets back for the playoffs. The timeline with turf toe is really iffy. I mean, it's all up to the individual and pain tolerance and how long it takes to recover. And you know, with turf toe as well, there's the unfortunate part where you could re-injure it again very easily. So I think you need to go smart with this, slow with this. Again, if it's the 3 month and that's the number, that's great because then he will get back for part of the season. The one thing I can say about Joe Burrow, he came back probably faster from the knee surgery, the first injury he suffered, and the wrist injury he suffered a couple of years ago, the broken wrist, that was a major wrist breakage. And there were a lot of questions in that training camp of every day. It felt like we were analyzing Joe throwing the football, but Joe made it back and turned in a great season last season. So if anybody attacks rehab and can come back from things like this, I would count on Joe Burrow doing that.
How common are these turf toe injuries in the NFL?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're an every week injury, but they're common enough. And it's a sport where you're cutting a lot. People are around you a lot. Sometimes you're getting stepped on and the foot doesn't, you know, the foot moves and the toe doesn't. Sometimes you just plant it wrong and the toe pops. I mean, there's a lot to it. There's a famous story of a Pittsburgh Steelers player, Jack Lambert, who played in the 70s and 80s for those great Pittsburgh Steelers teams, arguably the meanest, roughest, toughest guy that's ever played in the NFL. He suffered turf toe in 1983 and had to retire because of it in 1984. I'm not here to suggest that's going to happen to Joe Burrow, but that can tell you how serious turf toe can be.
Wow. Yeah, I sure hope it doesn't happen with Joe Burrow. How was he playing before he got hurt in last Sunday's game?
Actually, not great. He was 7 of 13, had a couple of weird plays, one where he tried to hold up throwing a pass and then let go of it. And they actually, the Jaguars challenged it because the ball kind of came out sideways a little bit or close to sideways. They thought maybe it was a fumble. He was not sharp early on, but I've seen Joe Burrow have moments like that. And then all of a sudden go on the next two drives and go 10 for 11. And at the end of the day, the stats look really, really good. And he was also coming off of a not so great performance up in Cleveland. That wasn't just him. That was the entire offense. But he was 14 for 22 for barely over 100 yards there. So Listen, he's still an elite quarterback. It was literally he's played a game and or actually 5.5 quarters this season. So small sample size, but no, I mean he wasn't his usual great Joe Burrow self in that short time he was in on Sunday.
This turf toe injury he suffered, is this a matter of Joe Burrow not being protected? I mean, how's the offensive line looking?
Yeah, that's become a narrative, and it's pretty nuanced narrative. So they drop back and pass a lot, and so the more you drop back, right, the more chances are the opposing team is gonna hit your quarterback. I know there's been complaints among the fan base they haven't invested enough in the offensive line. Well, 2 years ago they went and signed a left tackle, Orlando Brown Jr., who was a perennial Pro Bowl player. They signed Ted Karras off the free agent market a couple of years ago, and they've extended Ted a couple of times. They spent a first-round pick on a right tackle last year. They spent a third-round pick on their left guard this year. And they signed T. Higgins, and you know, that's a $30 million a year signing. Fans wanted him signed. Joe Burrow wanted him signed, and they signed him. And I'm not here to tell you it was either good nor bad, but that's $30 million out of the pot that perhaps if you wanted to invest more in the offensive line, you could have used and maybe put towards that. So, again, like I said, it's nuanced. I know it's an easy narrative because he gets hit. A lot of quarterbacks get hit. I mean, this league is full of offensive line issues. It's the one group of positions that I think talent evaluators just have a hard time wrapping their head around with kids come out of college because college offenses are just so different. And so you have a lot of people that are searching for offensive line help across the board. And, you know, again, even if you'd had that pot of money for not signing T. Higgins, maybe there wasn't a guard on the marketplace that was worth signing. So I get the narrative, but some of this is on Joe too. I mean, and listen, he's talked about he's willing to take a sack on 3rd and 8. He's willing to try to extend plays. One of the great things about Joe Burrow is when he sometimes extends plays while he scrambles, they've hit some really big plays off of that. But then the risk is you've extended the play. It's kind of a wild scramble where guys are trying to pick up different guys blocking because you're moving around and you know, you got a chance to get hit a little bit more often. And on that play on Sunday, Zach Taylor made a point when he talked to us on Monday that it was all 11 guys were culpable on that play. And that includes Joe Burrow. Receivers couldn't get open. Offensive line couldn't hold up in protection. And then Joe tried to scramble around and make a Joe Burrow play. And in the end, he got hurt. Not here to point the finger of blame, but I think he's right. All 11 guys were culpable for that.
Hmm. You mentioned that the offensive line is so different in college. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I think the Bengals, haven't they tried to draft for the offensive line? And is that, do you think that's part of the issue, that it's tough to draft for that position?
I do. I've always believed that. Now, listen, last year, I think they did the right thing in taking Amarius Mims in the first round. And he's looked good in his one season plus. Not Pro Bowl caliber, but he's been plenty fine. But I do think that it's so hard to evaluate these guys that it's almost a crapshoot, that you're almost better off going to free agency, spending money on proven NFL tape, because you've got guys who have shown they can do it in the NFL. But at the end of the day, as I said, that costs money. So you can't pay for everything. You can't pay for the quarterback, which they're paying a premium for. You're paying a premium for Ja'Marr Chase, who for a minute or two there was the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. You paid a premium price for your number two receiver in T. Higgins. And while you didn't pay a premium price, you still spent $30 million this year on Trey Hendrickson. And I hate to, we kind of make fun of Troy Blackburn for this, because when he talks to us about, you know, things in the pie, that you know, pie's only so big. He is right. The pie is only so big. And when you start taking big chunks out of it, you look around going, all right, we've got to fill this with draft picks. You know, like I said, the left guard this year, Dylan Fairchild, is a 3rd round pick. That's a fairly premium level pick. I mean, anything I think in day one or two of the draft, and that's the first 3 rounds, I consider that a premium pick. So, you know, you made a premium pick last year on Mims. You made a premium pick this year on Fairchild. Now you got to hope they both pan out.
Troy Blackburn, of course, that is Katie Blackburn's husband, an important member of the front office at the Bengals. Joe Burrow has been hurt before. You referenced that. He's going to be missing a lot of games this season. How do you think fans are reacting to all these injuries that he's had since he's been drafted for the Bengals?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think a lot of people pin the blame on the offensive line. They're starting to compare him to Andrew Luck, the Indianapolis Colts quarterback, who ended up retiring after 6 years because he was tired of rehabbing from injuries. I don't know if Joe Burrow's in that place. I think Joe Burrow's just, he loves football. There's no question about that. And like I said, he will attack this rehab. But you have to start thinking to yourself every year here on out, what's next? What's going to happen next? I mean, it's like I said, it's been a risk. Remember, even in 2023 in training camp, he, on the second day of camp, ended up hurting his right calf while he was scrambling and really compromised his camp that year. You know, then had the knee injuries I mentioned before that. Now he's had this. It feels like it's almost, you're just waiting for the shoe to drop on that. And that's unfortunate. It's a sport where guys get hurt, and it stinks when it's your quarterback and it's your star quarterback and you feel like you've got a Super Bowl caliber team. Well, now it's time to see if Jake Browning can carry that load.
Well, speaking of Jake Browning, the Bengals did end up winning last Sunday's game with backup quarterback Jake Browning. How'd he play?
Up and down. I mean, he threw three interceptions, one that Jamar Chase took the blame for, where I'm guessing Jamar either stopped on a route or didn't run the route the way Jake expected him to, and that sometimes happens. I mean, interceptions always seem like they're on the quarterback, but occasionally it is on the wide receiver, where you just never know. He threw one really bad one late. Threw one with the Bengals down 27-24 with about 5 minutes to go, and the Jaguars returned it to the 12. And then they decide to go for it on 4th and 5, and the defense turns them away. And so Jake Browning, after throwing three interceptions, leads the Bengals on a 92-yard touchdown drive. He jumped over the pile of defenders from a yard out to get the game-winning points. And, you know, when he went out, when Joe Burrow went out, the Bengals were down 17-10, and Jake Browning led them to 21 points in the second half. And when he started back in 2023, he went 4-3 and actually had enough pass attempts. He qualified. He was the leading completion percentage passer in the NFL, Jake Browning, in 2023. I don't think a lot of people know that. Completed 70% of his passes. So he is a capable backup quarterback. I know there were some folks after 2023 when he started those seven games that said, oh, you can get a premium for him if you trade him. No, this is literally, I wrote a column about this today at local12.com. This is the reason you didn't trade him. He only, you know, last year he didn't do anything because Joe was healthy and played, I think, all but five snaps. I think Jake took five snaps, and those were meaningless turnaround and handoff snaps. He did not even throw a single pass. So you say to yourself, well, gosh, you could have gotten something for him after 2023. Why not? Why didn't you trade him? You wasted a chance to get something. No, this is why you have him. If you think you have a championship caliber team, you need to have a backup plan at quarterback. And there are a lot of teams in this league. There's a lot of teams in this league that don't have a quality starting quarterback, let alone a backup quarterback. But there are a lot of teams that have a quality starter, but the backup is a big drop-off. There's a drop-off from Joe Burrow to Jake Browning, but I don't think it's a huge drop-off.
Hmm. Well, the Bengals are starting the season with 2 wins, 2-for-2. Does that give the team some breathing room without Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's a stretch of games coming up with or without Joe Burrow. This next stretch of 5 games was going to be difficult. They play at the Vikings, at the Broncos, come home to play the Detroit Lions, then go play at the Green Bay Packers, and then turn around on a Thursday night and play the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. All those teams made the playoffs last year. Some of them are lesser teams. I mean, I don't think Pittsburgh's a playoff team this year, but that's going to be a tough 5-game stretch no matter what. But I think, you know, players have a lot of confidence in Jake. The coaching staff has a lot of confidence in Jake. Jake beat Minnesota 2 years ago here when he had to start for Joe Burrow. It's kind of probably a chip on his shoulder moment because they were a team that signed him, and he sat on their practice squad for 2 years until the Bengals plucked him away, and then he spent 2 years on the Bengals practice squad. I mean, Jake Browning went 4 into his 5th NFL season before he ever threw a pass. I think this is a kid who's just always known he was ready when the time came, and he's answered the bell both times, the 7 games he started in 2023, and then on Sunday. Will he be perfect? No. Will he have some bad moments? Sure. But again, this is going to be a tough stretch with or without Joe Burrow, and we'll see if Jake Browning can keep them afloat. I think he can.
Well, I've been talking with Local 12 digital sports reporter and host of the Skinny podcast, Richard Skinner. Thanks so much for your time today.
You bet. Anytime, Lucy. Take care.
You too. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.